There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, and there you have it. There you go. With the qualifying.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 1071, November 27th, 2024. Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say silver streak in silver state. Take five for Max gives him four. Yuki Tsunoda comes to America on Frank Zappa program. We shall explain, gladly and pajama fully. Back to you, Chief.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Cadillac F1 is approved and will be on the grid in 2026. Mario Andretti appointed to the board at Cadillac F1. Max is four-time world champion, and we knew that was coming. Leclerc loses his total Monaco cool and goes frantic on the radio on team orders. And of course, this week's interview, we've got a big one, ladies and gentlemen. This is part one. This interview is with the great Formula One illustrator himself, Giorgio Piola. Fantastic interview. It's long. That's why we're going to do it in several parts. And the history in this interview is unbelievable. If you like F1, and if you've loved it for years, this is the interview that will keep you on the edge of your seat for a long, long time. And yes, speaking of good stuff, yes, we do need those contributions to keep the program up on the servers. So please just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know, you want to. Nas, I know you've been looking at Sequence, bourbon, lots of gin, lots of women, and lots of fun in Las Vegas. You're back. You're tired. But I know you've got some good stories. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Well, Veni, Vidi, Vici in Vegas for MV, the mighty Max, four-time Formula One world champion, 62 Grand Prix wins. But wait, there's more, 111 podiums in 207 races, and he is only 27 years old. Next stop, Fangio on five. Which brings us to question of the day for the host. Who is muy macho hombre de motorsports now?
Wow, Nas. Well, it was exciting, but we have to tip our hat to Max, don't we? Full-blown machismo. The package wasn't even there. And it's impressive. But you have to admit it. The guy's a jerk. Sure. He's annoying, sure, but he's a winner. I think he's right. He says that, and this is from Max, that it didn't matter what car he was driving, the Ferrari, the McLaren, or the Red Bull, he would have still won the world championship because it's deep within the gut. I mean, this guy asked Sergio Perez, obviously this car is not the fastest car on the grid by any stretch of the imagination, but this is what makes this the most special of specials. So we're going to be seeing the DVDs coming out, the greatest 10 drives from Max Verstappen for the next 6 months. But it's going to be glorious. I hope he enjoys it. And yes, number five is coming up. So Nas, it was exciting. I'm glad that we could watch all this. And I think even Michael Schumacher would have been impressed. So there you have it, Nass. We have been blessed with a lot of exciting stuff, especially with all the turmoil at Red Bull and the political crap. And then all of a sudden the car dropping off after Miami for some unknown reason. Adrian Newey leaving. So it's been a strange, strange season. And yeah, I tip my hat off to Max. Congratulations, Nasser.
We will have more on the Las Vegas Grand Prix. But first, the big news most Formula One fans, especially in the USSA, have been waiting for. GM is now officially professional and Formula One grade. I guess Lenny Lennox was right. Don't mess with the missionary man. The missionary man in this case was Donnie Brasco from DOJ. Liberty Media got what they wanted, one extra team without the excess baggage. And Michael Andretti can take comfort in knowing that his Papito, the 1978 Formula One world champion, Mario Andretti, will be on the board of directors of the Cadillac F1 team. And I am very, very happy about this. Both Caddyshack and Mario have confirmed he will not have any role in day-to-day operations of the team, but his guidance and advice would be very, very handy, and I'm sure appreciated by the big bosses as Cadillac and the team. Michael Andretti's name is not mentioned anywhere in the press release, but his operation in England previously hired Pat Simmons and designer Nick Chester. Now they have added another ex-Renault man, their engine guru, Rob White. Now all we need from the House of Renault is their ex-world champion and his manager, and that will make the whole Cadillac operation total bravo, bravo. Speaking of engine, looks like Ferrari will power Cadillac till they come up with their own engine in 2028. Nothing new under the sun here. Alpine powered by Mercedes, Aston Martin powered by Honda, there was even a Chrysler powered by Maserati. Where have you gone, Ricardo Montalban? We need some Corinthian leather seats in the palatial studios. The GM Cadillac press release referred to their partner as TWG Global instead of Andretti Global. The main backers, that is money men, are the same. The T is for Dan Torres, CEO of Group 1001 and related insurance companies. He is from Indiana and was brought to Michael Andretti's team as a sponsor by one of his drivers, Zach Veach, a young kid. He is from Ohio, and we interviewed him many moons ago. Mr. Torres then got on the Victor Kiam program. He liked the team so much that he bought it and shaved off Michael from his own team. The W is for Mark Walter, CEO of Guggenheim Capital. Both are involved in ownership of sports franchises. I am sure a lot has happened behind the scene that has not come out, and we may never know. The real positive is we have a new team on the grid in 2026. The fact it is a major US manufacturer, second from Motor City, coming into global arena of Formula One, will be very good for all parties, especially young American talent. Long story short, what's good for GM is good for F1. Your thoughts on this U-turn from Formula One, Senor? And more importantly, would you like to see a bitchin' Camaro as the safety car?
Well, a bitchin' Camaro would be really, really cool, except for one problem. They stopped making the bitchin' Camaro, so it's going to have to be a bitchin' Camry. That's right, we know it. The Camry is number one in the USA all day, even with Doris Day. So we'll stick with the Camry, but I'm pumped up. I'm excited. GM, the United States, American flags, Texas, Vegas. I mean, it's all coming together. We are Americanizing Formula One more and more. and the Americans appreciate it. So it's going to be exciting. I'm sure Trump will be on the grid when GM shows up. And, you know, let's hope it's super successful. The power plant we know is good. Look at how well Haas did this season. So for a small team and with the billions and billions from GM and their co-conspirators, I presume that this is going to be awesome. I certainly hope there are no awkward or embarrassing moments in the future for this team. I hope they become fairly successful quickly. All they have to do is do a lot of copying. And the facilities have been built thanks to Andretti. So I'm expecting, I don't know, a lot of talk between Audi and GM. Apparently Audi, I think, is on the back foot. And GM is on the front foot. So I think GM is really in very good shape to take this on.
Now we move on to round 22 of 24, the Las Vegas Grand Prix. So let's do a quickie on Colli. In this day and age, social media and Wikipedia has all the info. The buzzword was Red Bull had brought the wrong wing, and that was causing the struggles for Max. Why even worry about the second car or the second driver? But later, Christian Horner clarified that is not the case. Impressive pole position for George Russell, fourth pole of his career and 140th for the Mercedes team. I am sure GR will be the undisputed team leader at Mercedes next season, up until Kimi Antonelli starts rattling his cage. When that will happen, only time will tell. Equally impressive was third place on the grid for the Alpine of Pierre Gasly. Monsieur Rogers, that must have made you very happy.
It did make me very happy. It was nice. You know, I want Renault to leave Formula One on a high, obviously. Apparently, too many people were attending the DNF chapel, and that didn't happen. But still, and Gasly is a good qualifier. He's proven himself. So, hey, we'll see what happens next season with the Mercedes package and the Alpine. But I like Gasly. He's got a good style. He just needs to stay cool.
Franco Colapinto was brought back to Earth after crashing, and this was a heavy 50G crash. One thing I did notice about the Vegas paddock was the number of selfie and Netflix newbies did not seem to be as big as in Austin. I say this because even on Friday, the paddock was jam-packed in Texas. According to a local journalist I spoke to at the race in Vegas, he told me that people in the city were not pleased, but rather pissed off at how they were treated last year. This year, Formula One did distribute a few hundred free tickets, and they are trying to put on a kind face. The hotel prices were nowhere near last year, so I guess reality is sinking in. Hard to screw the same people more than once. And sir, there were a lot of people that I was able to talk to and enjoy the chat with. Bob Varsha, he was there on broadcast duties. And this was something very interesting that may be of interest to you, Mr. Rogers. I am sure you know a big French company called Safran. It is a major player in the aviation industry, and they have a joint collaboration with General Electric where they make the CFM engines, which powers all the Boeing 737 models. I saw a gentleman wearing a Safran jacket. I asked him, what is Safran doing here? And he pointed to a name on his jacket and said, this is one of our companies and I'm representing them. And that company was Carbon Industries. So I told him this is one of Peter Windsor's favorite companies. This gentleman used to work for Orica, and amazingly, I told him that I was invited to Orica by Mr. Patrick Bernard, who works there, and he said he knows Patrick because he was associated with them many moons ago. So small world we live in. And I also met Mr. Julien Favreau. This was the gentleman who did the incredible last lap commentary when Pierre Gasly won at Monza. So we had a nice chat, and hopefully we will connect next time I'm in Paris. After Seb, Max is the second driver to take his first four championships in a row. Very impressive feat. Both came into Formula One as Red Bull juniors, and both are now masters of motorsports. And both became four-time world champions before they reached the ripe old age of 30. Kudos to Dr. Marco for putting babyface drivers into the top echelon of motor racing. Apart from these two, other drivers who have four or more championships include names like Fangio, Prost, Schumacher, and one other name. Who could that be? Oh, muy macho hombre de Steven Age, in some circles known as Lucky Luciano. He messed up in Q3 but made it to P2 in the race behind King George. Max did a very un-Max race, and that's just my personal opinion. There was no fighting for every inch of the race on every corner, every lap. Losing the battle to win the war has never been a bad strategy. The slings and arrows continue from Denmark to the desert of Nevada. Did you see the video where Zak Brown is congratulating Max, and Max is responding, "Like you said, I only win in the fastest car."
I was really happy for Max saying that, because Zak Brown sometimes gets on my nerves. But even everybody else said it. I mean, Max put on an interesting show, but a fabulous performance this year for sure.
The Mercedes star was shining in bright Vegas lights. Being on pole gave George Russell an advantage in the streets of Sin City, and he drove like the saint of speed. No mistake, no freakouts on the team radio. His soon-to-be riding off to a prancing horse teammate, Lewis Carl Hamilton, excusez-moi, Sir Lewis Hamilton, started 10th and put on a performance that can only serve notice to his future teammate, Monsieur Leclerc, that he is not coming to Maranello to enjoy pasta with marinara sauce with John Elkann and Piero Lardi Ferrari. And speaking of John Elkann, the young CEO of Ferrari and Stellantis, I just saw a news item today that the Italian IRS people are interested in talking to him and his family members. So we'll see what happens there. The man Lewis is replacing, Carlos Sainz Jr., was also on the podium in third. His teammate Charles Leclerc was fourth and had some choice words on the team radio, which we will not repeat here. As I've said before, if Charles thinks he has problems now, just wait a little bit longer and see what happens in the year 2025 when Lewis comes alive and thrive on a prancing horse. Obviously, easier said than done. It will all depend on the Palatial Studios philosophy. No package, no delivery. I don't think Leclerc will roll over and play dead for Lewis like a macaw parrot. But I have a feeling if Ferrari has the best car, we are in for some nasty weather. Bad moon rising over the Emilia-Romagna region of Italy. Now, there was a time during the race I thought we will see red skies at night, a Ferrari 1-2. But, like George Benson says in a song, we tried to talk it over, but words got in the way. Same situation at Scuderia Ferrari. We tried to win the race, but strategy got in the way. Sometimes the prancing horse gallops like a Pagliacci horse. Your take on the Ferrari team in Vegas, and did you expect Russell to win the way he did, which was very impressive?
I actually expected Lewis Hamilton to win this one. Vegas, the glam, all the boys from Compton attending. But, and let's face it, all weekend, the Mercedes loved the cold. They were fast. They were outstanding. Everybody else said they were fast. And so Mercedes was definitely the ones to watch. And I was happy for George because he really needs to become the leader of this team, as Lewis Hamilton certainly did put in a fantastic performance, as he always does. But he's growing tired of this goodbye to Mercedes, and he's anxious to end it and begin La Dolce Vita. But no, very exciting race, and you're right. Lewis Hamilton to Ferrari, right when Ferrari is peaking, is going to be exciting. And the best part is all these drivers have learned and watched Max Verstappen. And trust me, if you don't think they're going to adjust some of their techniques, well, 2025 will be exciting.
So Max, all he needed was take five. Fifth in the race gave him his fourth championship. So that was all very good. Lando was sixth and set the fastest lap. Prior to that, Lewis Hamilton was pumping lap after lap a new fastest lap. So that was very nice. Teammate Piastri was seventh. The papaya rules were not required. I agree with Lando. Championship was long lost after Max won seven of the first 10 races. McLaren team's roundtable conference during a race filibuster on plan A to F did not help the cause. As mentioned before, drivers who are very good, they need a car 0.3 to half a second faster than what Max has to beat him in the championship. Remember Maradona's famous hand of God goal? That hand is now being offered to other teams in the form of Red Bull without Adrian Newey and Honda engines after 2025. Were you surprised at the lack of pace on the papaya cars? They did not even attempt a fake pass on Max.
I was very surprised, but then the cold affects the tires, the brakes, and we couldn't be surprised about anything. You know, I think the cold takes away a lot from this Grand Prix. If they could move it into a warmer window of opportunity, I think it would be good for the fans, the drivers, because everybody was freezing, and freezing is not that great. Now, if you're too hot, that's great. You have all halter tops walking around. You could take your clothes off. You can finally let loose. But when you're freezing, you just want to cuddle up with a hot toddy. Yeah. And not only that, but there was just, you could tell, I think Norris, I think he realizes you have to graduate before you get to the big guns. You know, you have to become a full-blown journeyman like Max. And I think he's still in the apprenticeship stage. So it's going to be exciting, but I do want to see how some drivers change their techniques and maybe go with the brutality of a Max if you really, really want to win. Because that's what it's all about. How bad do you want to win? Do you care about your reputation, or you just want to win, baby? So, yes, we have some great seasons ahead of us.
Nico Hülkenberg picked up four useful points for Haas from his 8th-place finish. Yuki was 9th after a very impressive 7th on the grid collie effort. And now we come to the last point from the race. Checo Perez picked up the final point from his 10th-place finish. Man, I have to say this. His pass with three cars going into a corner on a street track without any collateral damage was pass of the season, and that alone should help him keep the seat at Red Bull. As impressive as that was, racing reality paints a dull picture. He was over a minute behind the race winner and most likely will end the season without any race wins when both drivers from McLaren, Mercedes, and Ferrari have taken wins, and his own teammate has 8 wins and his 4th championship with 2 races remaining. The word on the street and in the paddock is, Perez is saying to Red Bull, show me $20 million before you terminate my contract. Looks like his future at Red Bull will be decided after the season finale in Abu Dhabi. According to Dr. Marco, the Red Bull board of directors will meet and decide what is the right price to let him go and bring on board a new whippersnapper. I will be very surprised if Checo continues with Red Bull. especially taking into account low-hanging and affordable fruits available in the form of Liam Lawson, Isaac Hadjar, and Franco Colapinto. His $20 million asking price by Williams is like a Vienna waltz for the billions and billions in sales of Red Bull cans. The paddock rumor is deal for Colapinto as team to Max in 2025 is signed, sealed, and soon to be delivered. Now both you and I, and most of our listeners know, Argentina is famous for beef. But Max will make mincemeat of Franco, and he will be shredded on the boulevard of broken dreams like other teammates of Max. Pierre Gasly, Alex Albon, Daniel Ricciardo, and now Checo. In my very humble opinion, I would like to see Colapinto at RB, the junior team, as teammate to Yuki, and Liam as teammate to Max in 2025 to ease the pain for Colapinto. What say you?
I actually think that's a really good idea. Liam is already getting cocky, you know, bitching about McLaren and the British national anthem, which I like. We need more cockiness. And he's the perfect match to go up against Max, because you want to be cocky? Okay, we'll show you what you need to do now. Yeah, Franco Colapinto is still a child in terms of years in the seat. He needs to be with Yuki, and you know, Yuki will boss him around a little bit and show him some new pajamas he's designed.
Speaking of Colapinto, he was 14th in the Vegas Grand Prix. Not bad after starting from the pit lane. His teammate Albon and Gasly were the two DNFs in the race. Gasly suffering in this day and age a rare done blowed up on the Alpine engine. And sir, now we come to pleasure in the piranha pool. I arrived in Sin City on Wednesday around noon, picked up media credentials from Tuscany Casino and Hotel. A big thank you goes out to Senor Paul Velasco of GrandPrix247.com for helping me on this and other credentials this season to Formula One races. Then it was like a 10-15 minute walk to the paddock, and many thanks to Miss Jessica of Haas F1 team, I was able to get a 15-minute audience with Nico Hülkenberg at 8:45 p.m. He was in a jolly good mood and said to me, "You can do this in less than 15 minutes. Because I will answer just yes and no." So I asked him if he was on the Kimi Raikkonen program, and he proceeded to do a pretty nice impression of Kimi. We were able to discuss his time in Formula One, his near misses on podium, his future with his homeboys at Sauber, soon to be Audi, and of course we talked about his great victory on debut at Le Mans with Porsche. Since I had exhausted all of the leads after receiving a trifle thanks but no thanks from basically all the other teams, I was on the lookout for Mr. Otmar Szafnauer, Günther Steiner, or any ex-driver or racing personnel I can do a little chit-chat, and the efforts were finally rewarded when I ran into Alex Wurz. He is doing some reporting for the Austrian network ORF, and he was kind enough to talk to me for about 20 minutes. Two of his kids are also in racing right now. The most encouraging part, especially looking ahead, was a quick meeting with Signor Stefano Domenicali. He is now based in London. I asked him, next time I'm in jolly old England, can we do an interview? He said to me, just reach out to Liam Parker and we will make this happen. So I will try to make this work in early March on my way to meeting F1 Weekly Familiar members in Shanghai and Suzuka next year. And some other good things happened over the weekend. One evening, a lady came up to me and said, "Do you remember me?" I recognized the face, but before I could answer, she said, "We met at Imola," and turns out it was Signorina Raffaella, the lady who approved our credential when I was at Imola in July. She asked me, when will I be back at Imola? So I told her I may or may not get media credentials for the Imola Grand Prix, but if there is some other racing action going on around April, I can make a pit stop at Imola. And she said, we have WEC race in the second half of April. And as you know, a lot of Formula One drivers there. And she told me that credentials for this are also issued by FIA. But she requested that I reach out to her and she will try to help. And this will work out very well for me coming back. I can stop there. I plan on stopping somewhere to break the journey anyway, because I don't want to fly 16 hours nonstop. So if we can get credentials for Imola WEC race, moi will be there. I was also able to have chats with Jacques Villeneuve and David Croft, both very easy to deal with and cooperative. JV said he cannot do interview in Vegas due to contractual obligation, but will be happy to talk to me again at some other track. And I met him later also, and it's very nice. And Crofty said what I have heard a few times in the paddock, and it's pretty much the song I'm going to hear anytime in the F1 paddock. He said, I will be happy to talk to you once you get the express written consent from Major League Motor Racing. And that takes time, so I don't want to frustrate myself. I spent quite a bit of time with my friend Olivier, who works for Nicola Todd. He said next year he may do more races as assistant to Leclerc. And thanks to Olivier, I was at least able to enjoy a fresh cup of cappuccino from the Ferrari hospitality all weekend long. That was good. So as you can see, Mr. Rogers, we are on the AT&T program, reaching out and touching a few in the world of motorsports. And let's see how far we can go.
Pajama people. Pajama people.
Now we come to pajama people. Yuki Tsunoda almost got zapped and shipped back to Nihon by U.S. Customs and Border Control. Not sure why, but they asked him to step aside for a conversation that lasted more than an hour. It took him a few hours to convince the Federales that he was a Grand Prix driver and not here trying to steal secrets from Xbox for Nintendo. Apparently wearing a Hello Kitty pajama upon arrival at a major U.S. airport may not help the situation. This reminds me of Sebastian Vettel being interviewed by U.S. Customs a few years ago. The officer asked him where he was coming from and Seb told him from the Montreal Grand Prix. So the man said, hope you had a good seat. And Yuki will have a good seat as long as Honda is providing a good engine to a team. Any thoughts on Yuki's deal, Senor?
Oh, God, I laughed at that. But believe it or not, it's not the pajamas. It's the people at the airport. Believe it or not, I'm a fairly normal-looking guy. I mean, let's face it, Nasser, I'm a regular, bitter, white male coming home from Europe, going through LAX, and I'm catching my final flight to go home to the Bay Area. A domestic flight. Well, they didn't like me and decided to search everything. Gave me a little talk. I had to go through X-ray again. They checked everything in my bag. All my little poster got crunkled up. I'm telling you, some of these people at these airports are just mean and bitter, and they're just not happy. And that's the biggest problem. So I'm with Yuki on this one. Pajamas should not dictate what the law says, and you either get them through quickly or send them home. But this BS, but yes, I've been through it. It's annoying. Yeah, it's tough going through customs. So there you have it. I feel his pain, Nasser.
Okay, sir, I think now it's time for a Sapporo break. So we should take a break and come back shortly.
Thank you, Nasser. On that note, yes, a little thirst quenching, some messages. So we'll be back after these brief commercials.
Hi, I'm Miles Rowe, and I'm representing the Palatian Studios of F1 Weekly.
Bonjour. Want to stay in a charming accommodation near the historic and famous Cognac and Bordeaux regions of southwestern France? Imagine yourself surrounded by the rolling hills and vineyards of the Charon region, sipping on Cognac or the local aperitif Pinot de Charon. Opening in June 2012, Bassinot offers traditional French country lodging in rustic stone cottages, fully equipped with modern comforts, suitable for families, travelers, or groups. Share a home-cooked meal with your host and soak in the ambiance and joie de vivre of the tranquil and rural French countryside. Bassinot is only a 90-minute drive from the Bordeaux airport or 30 minutes from the nearest train station in Angoulême. Navigate to bassinot.com for information or to book a reservation now. That's BASSINAUD.com. Allons-y!
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and racing regards. In today's Motorsports Mondial, we have part one of an extended conversation I had with Signor Giorgio Piola. Anybody who is interested on the technical side of motor racing, Formula One cars, I am sure is familiar with this name. I've been looking at his technical drawings, I mean, going back as far as, I would say, late 70s and 80s in Road and Track magazine, and he has contributed to many, many magazines over the world. It was a fantastic conversation, and today we will play part one, and next week it will be part two. So here is Signor Giorgio Piola. Okay, folks, I'm here with Signor Giorgio Piola. Anyone who has ever seen any illustration in a motorsports magazine knows this name very well. Sir, thank you for your time. How are you today?
I'm very good, quite pleased also for the result of the race, not only because won Ferrari, but because the challenge for the Constructor Championship is becoming more and more interesting between Red Bull, McLaren and Ferrari. And this is very good also because even if I'm not totally against when there is a team with a dominance, for the people especially, to have at least a three team fighting is much better.
Ferrari, what does that name mean to Italian nation and Italian pride?
I tell you, Ferrari for Italy is like, if you want, even if comparison can be not very nice, like pizza. When you talk about the Italian, immediately you think about pizza, immediately you think about Ferrari. If you want, it's a flag of Ferrari. As you know, I'm doing this job from 56 years. And in the past, even when Ferrari was not winning, I mean after 79, after Jody Scheckter championship, I used to work always with a lot of magazines in the world, and especially Autosport, that was the biggest one. And I used to do two drawings of the Ferrari at each race because I was working in Italy for Gazzetta dello Sport and Autosprint. So I was obliged to do two drawings different because I had to respect the exclusive. Anyway, when I was doing Ferrari drawing, all the magazines in the world were always publishing Ferrari drawing, while the other cars, even if important, McLaren, Williams, Lotus, Toleman, whatever, the Benetton, whatever it was, there was printing only when they were successful or not all the time. So Ferrari was representing for many, many, many years Formula One. When you were talking about Formula One, Ferrari. And that's the reason why Ecclestone, when they made a deal with the constructor, was giving to Ferrari much more money, much more result than with any other team.
Yeah. Apart from Ferrari, Italian motorsports heritage is incredible. You know, Monza, Mille Miglia, Nuvolari, Ascari. Your connection to motorsports began by winning a bet with your brother. Let's hear that story, please.
Yes, I have to say that I'm very proud of myself because my dream in my family, everybody was very good in making drawing. We were four brothers, three guys and one girl, and everybody was very good. And I was always making drawing. And I have the brother closer to me, 5 years older, that he was also very good. And we were always, as you can imagine, between brothers fighting, my drawing is better now, your drawing. So one day I said to him, his name was Marco, I said, listen, Marco, we do this way. We do two drawings of a Formula One car. We sent to two different magazines. My magazine was Automondo. His magazine was Automarque Trend, two magazines of the 60, because we are talking about later 60. And we see what's happened. But it was a pure joke between brothers. After 1 week, because at the time the post, even more, after maybe 15 days, I received a letter and a number of telephone to call. Was Gianni Cancellieri, that was the chief editor of that magazine, but was also chief editor of Gazzetta dello Sport for the cars section, because Gazzetta dello Sport, a huge newspaper in Italy, was divided by sector, football, basket, cars, motorbike cars together. And he said, can we publish, Mr. Piola, we like your drawing, can we publish? Of course, I said, yes, you can publish. And then he said, by the way, in 20 days' time, there is the Monaco Grand Prix. Do you want to go there and cover Monaco Grand Prix for us? That's like this. It was like a dream, a tale of a boy becoming a reality. I was 19. I was without the keys of the house because my family was a very family, very severe. And that helped to build my character for doing this work, because you need to be very severe in doing this job. And I started traveling the world without the keys of the house, and it was fantastic, because and then I was doing incredible big drawing, 45 days of time to do, all handmade, and that was a wonderful time.
Yeah, and that race was the 1969 Monaco Grand Prix. Apart from your assignment, what do you remember most from that race?
That year, not too much, because I was too emotional. And it was really my first Grand Prix, so I was really like a fan. I don't remember if it was the year after or 2 years after, happened something really very funny. Jack Brabham was leading the race, and I was at the last corner. At that time, was a very tiny U-turn, and was incredible, because at that time we didn't have protection for the ears. So you can imagine those 8-cylinder or 12-cylinder, whatever they were, coming in braking, so putting down the gears on one ear, and then coming up with the gears out was incredible. At the last relap, Brabham went along, hit the guardrail, and the policeman tried to help, and he was not able to put the reverse, because at the time the car already the reverse. Then at the end, he put the reverse, and the policeman fall on the front wing. So Brabham started to move, and the policeman with the leg, and then he had to wait, and the policeman went away. In that moment, Jochen Rindt, Paris-Saint, won the race. So if you want, was a comic movie, Charlie Chaplin, because with that policeman doing like this, this I remember very well. And then a lot of other nice remembering and bad remembering, because at that time was horrible. It was wonderful for one way, because we were a family for many, many years, for more than 20, 25 years. Formula One was really a big family, everybody very friendly. But it was the problem that every year there was one driver that was dying. And that was, it's funny, because I always think made a sentence between myself. Then I realized, talking with Jackie Stewart, that was the sentence that he put in his book when he retired. And it was this one. At the beginning of the season, there was the picture of all the driver. And immediately to all of us was coming the thinking, which one I will not see at the end of the season. And unfortunately, nearly always happened. And it was horrible. And that create also, I'm not a pessimistic person, but for example, I never do any plan for the big future. And I became very anxious, because as it happened at that time, but also now, when there is an accident, there was a total silence. You didn't know anything anymore. So you know that the center, the usual common way of thinking is no news, good news. Myself, I'm the opposite. No news, oh my God, something happened. because it was horrible, because they were totally silenced. Then after half an hour, 1 hour, we discovered that one driver was killed, that there was a problem. This happened also now, because if you see, when there is an accident, they try to cover everything. And this is something that I don't like.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something about your work, which is very detailed, very impressive. I have always wondered where you get this data, information. Obviously, the teams are not telling you what is what. And I'll tell you something. I was one day talking to a very old friend of mine, crazy about Formula One, and I made a comment to him that, you know, like you, I don't understand any technical stuff. And he says to me, the only technical stuff I understand is Giorgio Piola, because your name would be in the drawings. So how do you get the information?
Just to tell you about the understanding, that is the, if you want, is the key, let's say, of my success. I'm not an engineer, and I don't want to play the engineer. So my way of describing the technical stuff is more emotional, and is more that I don't want to do something very technically sophisticated. I want to give to the people that I don't understand a way to enter into the technical nitties, and to the people that understand more, the starting point for them to think even better than me. So I'm not at all arrogant. I'm not at all that I want to teach the people, but I want to create emotion. What makes me very happy, that a lot of engineers, they start to follow watching my drawing. For example, Nicolas Tombazzi is the responsible of FIA, was the responsible of Ferrari in 2009. Mm-hmm. And when they launched the car, they made an interview, of course, to him. Andrea Cremonesi, the Italian journalist of Gazzetta dello Sport, said to him, why a Greek came to Formula One? Because in Greece you have a rally more, and why Formula One? And he said, I came in Formula One fascinated by watching the drawing of Giorgio Piola. And that makes me incredibly happy. And I have a very good relationship with all the engineers. I think I respect them, and what I believe, they respect me. Because, for example, when we meet each other, very often they come to say hello to me. Adrian Newey, for example, is a very, very good friend. He sent me a letter for Christmas that was really unbelievable. I was very happy. Patrick had the same. John Barnard the same. So Gordon Murray. So, and in my career, I was spending a lot of time also talking about anything, because you have to understand that these people are genius, and more than the driver sometimes are human being that you can talk about everything. So the Fourier, for example, was wonderful. We spend hours and hours talking about cars, about art, about music, about everything. And so I have a very good relationship. I respect them. And what is wonderful in Formula One, apart now, because now with the internet, everything is a little bit worse. All the people that works in Formula One, from the last mechanic, from the driver of the truck, from the journalist, from the engineer, from the driver, from everybody, we have a passion. We came here because we love this. While now with the internet, a lot of people come here, it's only because it's a business. It's a nice business. And that makes a huge difference. For example, in my life, I did some mistake, because nobody can do work without doing mistake. But I never wrote something fake. Now with the internet, the spirit is, we have to be first. If it's wrong, who cares? Tomorrow we write the contrary. And this is totally unfair and not nice. My attitude was that when I knew something, I was waiting before publishing to be totally sure. Also because you have to understand that if you write something you are not sure, you have to make the possibility. Maybe Ferrari we will do front, let's say, front suspension pull rod. While if you wait and you know the story, you say, next year Ferrari will have pull rod suspension. And this is totally different.
Okay, now these people you are calling very rightly genius, Forgeri, John Barnard, Newey, Gordon Murray, were they surprised when they would learn that you don't have an engineering degree?
No, because they was joking, they was teasing, but always believe a great respect. For example, one of the most wonderful evening I had in my life for 2 years consecutive at the British Award. I was sitting in the table, and the table was done like this. Patrick had at my left, Gordon Murray, Pat Simmons, Rory Byrne at my right, Gordon Murray and Barnard, and myself, and the evening was all teasing each other. For example, Patrick Head was saying that one was cheating with that one, the other one, no, you have done this. Then when I did some mistake, and for example, Patrick Head was really very funny because at the race, he never said a lie to me. Never. And I respect him because, for example, the team manager, I don't like them. I don't talk too much about the team manager because due to the fact they are more businessmen, they are lying most of the time. They are diplomatic. The diplomatic people, immediately they know how to lie. For example, Frank Williams, I used to talk much more with Patrick Head than not with Frank, even if with Frank I was a very good friend. And Patrick was always saying to me, I said, go to him, Patrick, what are you in this race? Which are the update? Oh, we have 5 updates, but I don't tell you. You have to find. Then the next day I was coming, Patrick, I found number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4. What is the number 5? I'm sorry, Giorgio, if you don't find, it's up to you. We will find sooner or later. So there was a kind of game. He was trying not to tell me, but not to hide. So it was really very, and it's very interesting because it's also very, not spiritual, it's also very psychological because you have to understand. For example, once I found a wonderful scoop, there was testing in Paul Ricard with 2 Tyrrell. One was the new one and one was the old one. It was the beginning of the TV cameraman, really the beginning. It was the car immediately after the 6-wheel. So the Tyrrell 08, I think. And myself, I was all keen to try to make a picture of the new car, and nobody was hiding, because at the time, nobody was hiding, and I could do even making the picture under the car, no problem at all. A cameraman tried to do the picture of the old car with the camera laying down on the ground, so to take the suspension, and the mechanic blocks. And myself, I said, why? They block the old car. They let me do the picture with the new car. There is no sense that they block the old car. So I said, there must be something, some experiment. So next time the car comes, they try to have a variable camber in the rear suspension. And that was the reason why they was covering. So I did the picture. I was able to do the drawing. So I went to the chief mechanics that I knew very well. Was a guy with a very big nose, very big teeth, and very big moustache. A very funny guy, but very good. And I said, thank you. If you didn't cover, we never have discovered your technical stuff. So at the end, it was nice. And the most difficult point of my work is to be able to see the solution, because you have to be sometimes to wait even hours and hours and hours. I try to do at one race, then you do to the next one, before knowing all the stuff, because of course the people, they don't show you. So you have to discover. And this is the most, and that's the reason why I get upset now with the internet, because as you publish something, everybody copy. And this is totally unfair, because myself, I spend money to go to the race. I spend a lot of time to take the picture, and then, bam, as I publish, in 2 seconds, they copy.
Yeah. Very true. We are in Texas. I understand you helped design an F1 car for Italian cowboy, Signor Arturo Mazzario. How was that experience in designing race cars and working with him?
It was, if you want, it was a total mistake because it was not my job. And I stayed there. First of all, I have to say, I was always only doing the drawing. There was an engineer that was doing all the calculation. And it was engineer Marelli that was working with Ferrari, and he was a leader of the project of Formula 2 for Ferrari. And he was doing all the calculation, and myself, I was doing the drawing. But I was always conscious that it's not my work, because one of the, I think, positive aspects of my character, that is not very easy, I'm not very popular to be a friendly person in Formula 1, is that I know exactly what I'm good and what I'm not good. I knew that I didn't have either the brain and knowledge to be a designer of Formula One. But it was very interesting because I learned a lot, because I was working with mechanics. I learned about the shielding, I learned about carbon fiber, I learned about titanium, all this thing, how to do the setup of the car. But I remember that once we modified the rear suspension, and I did the drawing of the rear suspension, but the engineer Marelli made the calculation, and we made a very easy test with the chief mechanic, and we doubted that the suspension was not very reliable. So we said to Arturo, don't put this suspension on the car because we have to do more severe tests because we are afraid that it's not stiff enough. I go back home because the team was in Milano. Myself was living in Genoa. I was working until Friday, and Friday I was coming back to home. And the car left to go to Kyalami on Monday. I come in my Kyalami, I go in the garage, and I see the suspension on the car. I said, listen, Arturo, I told you not to put on the car, because at the end of the day, it's my responsibility, because I signed the drawing. And he said, no, listen, I'm the boss, it's my responsibility, I sign you, don't worry, I want to. First lap, at the second lap, at the brake, at the end of the straight line, rear suspension, plop, broken. So I went to Merzani and said, listen, Arturo, I was very pleased, you are a wonderful person, I learn very well, you pay me what I ask you, so I have nothing to complain, but from now, I don't work anymore. And I went back to do the job that I'm able to do.
Giorgio, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com, and we'll talk to you again next week. Nasser?
Okay, sir, continuing with motorsports around the world, we had the season finale in Japan for World Rally Championship, WRC. Local cars, Toyota, finished first and second with Alvin Evans of Wales and Frenchman Sebastian Ogier, respectively. This helped Toyota win the Manufacturers Championship. But the Drivers' Championship went to a driver from the rival Hyundai team, or as some would say, Hyundai. Anyway, the driver was from Belgium, Thierry Neuville, and this is his first championship after finishing second in WRC no less than 5 times. And now we come to famous last words. There is this reporter, Olaf Mol. He is with Ziggo Sports from the Netherlands. He had some very interesting comment on the talent level of Lance Stroll. He said, and I quote, his intelligence is like a dead dinosaur egg. Now that is going very, very far back into the past and very, very deep. Dead dinosaur egg. What say you, Mr. Rogers?
Wow. I mean, I've heard a lot of Lance comments, you know, dead in the brain, doesn't want to be there. But listen, folks, and you'll hear this in some interviews that NAS gathered up, Lance Stroll will become world champion because that is what his papa wants. So he's spending the billions. Lance will be there way after Fernando retires. And it's going to be interesting. Now, of course, the big question is, where will Max go eventually? Will he go to Mercedes, Ferrari, just like Lewis, every man's dream? Or will he go to Aston? Because I know Lawrence Stroll would like to see him at Aston. But that would not be good for Lance. So I say, Lawrence, skip Max, stick with Lance. And one day, Lance could very well be world champion. So there you have it, Nas. But the only thing I care about is Fernando Alonso. Give him a good car next season because we need him back on the podium because it's exciting. It's good for the sport and it's good for my blood pressure, Nasser.
Finally, we come to Musical Mondial. After a lot of push and shove and dialogue with Department of Justice, Now, on a clear day, you can see General Motors and Cadillac in Formula One. To celebrate this great news, we have Miss Aretha Franklin in the Palatial Studios. Thank you for listening. Bye now, till we meet again for the Big Q next week. Bye-bye.
Good night.